My song right there. See, this is why Jay Johnson, the best producer in the business. He see your boy Drapes a little down and out, you know, midway through the show. I'm kind of dragging a little bit. I need a pep in my step.
Lost your wallet.
Lost my wallet in El Segundo. Well, a couple of towns down from El Segundo. And what does Jay do? Play Sacramento's own Brother Lynch Hub. This takes me back to 1994. 94. Rolling through Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Ooh. On the East Coast, bumping some Brother Lynch Hub. This was great.
How did you decide which beach to visit? And I'm not casting aspersions on your judgment. I'm just curious. Just whatever was closest or
well,
something in particular.
Let me break down the beaches for you real quick here.
Yeah.
Real quick, Whitey. You got Venice Beach.
Right.
We all been there. We know what it is.
Too populated.
Scene, you know. Yeah, too populated. I've been there. I took the son there last
year. It's
too
crowded. Nobody goes there.
Crowded. It's not peaceful, really. You got watch, you know, head on a swivel, you know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Then you got Hermosa Beach, a little step up. A little more, a little classier, but still, you know, rough. Got the, you know, mom and pop shops, you know, the tourist traps and things like that. Then you got Manhattan Beach, which is a little upscale. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start in Manhattan Beach and go down to Hermosa Beach. Because, you know, I did a little shopping, wanted to see what was out there. I knew I didn't want to do Venice Beach, though.
Gotcha.
As much as I like Venice Beach and you know, Muscle Beach, you got the basketball court there.
Uh-huh.
You're not doing any high-quality shopping on Venice Beach.
You didn't want to get out there and get a run in the basketball?
No, they're not ready for me, man. First of all, I need about a month preparation.
Uh-huh.
But my son thought it was the best thing ever last year when I took him to Venice Beach, and they had, like, a summer league game on, and they had the announcer walking on the court, you know. Oh, baby, look at, you know. Uh-huh. My son just ate it up. But it wasn't for me yesterday. I needed something a little more chill, a little more relaxing.
You know, some people think, some players I think have suggested that would improve the All-Star game if you had an on-court announcer like they have for those.
I heard that. Yeah. Somebody mentioned that as a change of pace. Somebody also mentioned, I forget who it was. It might have been somebody with the Kings or just a friend of mine, doing a four-team tournament. Like, you have your All-Stars. And you got 5, 5, 5, and 5.
Huh.
Like, winner take $1 million or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Like a two-day event, you know, where, you know, they go hard, you know, and the winner gets $1 million or something like that.
Huh.
You know, or a trophy or something like that. Just as a way to change up the
maybe,
game.
Maybe. Might work. Tonight the Kings are wearing their, I think this is a city edition.
Yeah, this
uniforms.
City.
Yeah.
The ones yesterday were statement, right?
I like those. Yeah. I like the purple ones. But as part of tonight, Kings will also, they'll have, you know, videos honoring Kings of the past as they, you know, honor their 100 years of existence. And I mentioned this because yesterday I was talking to the great Jerry Reynolds, and he listens to our show sometimes, and he said, you guys were talking about past Kings who would be good fits on this team.
Yes.
And he said, somebody mentioned our test, and he said, he'd be a good fit. But he said, the guy who would really fit this team is Hedo Turkoglu. He said, because
really?
He said Hedo could defend, he had a handle, he could shoot, he could fit in with this offense,
a size,
do a little bit of everything. Yeah, definite size.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
Rock,
yes.
Ass, yeah.
Yeah. And he had played in a similar offense with Orlando when they went to the finals that time. So Hedo Turkoglu, we remember you tonight as we remember Kings history. And we remember last night, a big win for the Kings over the Clippers. How'd they do it? They did it with their defense, but don't take it from us. Here is Mike Brown after the game talking about how well the Kings defended last night.
Foxy was fantastic on the ball. He was the head of the snake tonight. He really set the tone for us defensively, and that's what we need from him night in, night out. He had 8 deflections. He was great. HB ended up being our defensive player of the game. He was fantastic. Keegan's great. He rebounded the ball for us at a really, really high level at his position. I tell you what, Kevin Huerter was freaking fantastic. It was a great problem to have tonight because I was about to go back to him, and then we went on a little run, and then I ended up not going back to him, but I could have easily gone back to Kevin because he was awesome on both ends of the floor. I mean, he started out the second half hitting a couple of big threes that gave our guys a lot of energy while defending.
I don't know. Maybe some of it is just now that players can see the finish lines. Like, all right,
right.
See where we need to get to, and it's within sight now. So we need to focus. And we're not going to talk about it now. We're actually going to do it. Whatever it is, they're playing some of their best basketball of the year right now, which is ideal.
Yeah, it's time to lock in.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I was listening to Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett on their podcast that they do, KG Certified. It's really a tremendous podcast. It's so funny. But, you know, those guys teamed up to win the 2008 championship. They're veterans. They understand. And, you know, that's one of the things they talked about. Teams that have sort of been there, veteran teams that sort of know what they're doing. Post-All-Star break is when you lock in. And that's what I'm seeing, I think, from De'Aaron Fox, you know, last couple of games, him locking in. Same thing, you know, Harrison Barnes. Like, you're seeing a renewed focus, I think, with this team. And sure, the San Antonio game was closer than expected, but that was after a week layoff, so I'm going to give him a pass for that. So, but I thought last night's game, you saw a focus and intensity, and I think tonight will tell us a lot more about where the Kings are right now, because this is a game, second night of a back-to-back, ho-hum opponent, no Jimmy Butler, sort of, you know, the marquee names aren't playing other than Bam Adebayo. So this is an opportunity to avoid letting your guard down.
What can you tell us about what specifically the Kings did to defend the three-point line better? We don't want to get too, you know, caught up in the numbers or get too wonky here, but obviously that's been a huge issue for this team all year long. Last night, the Clippers, they could shoot the three ball 8 for 27.
Yeah.
And Mike Brown says, oh, the defense was great. How was it great in regards to defending the three-point line?
Well, I don't know how great it was. And let me explain why. I felt like every three Norman Powell hit was wide open. Like, how many corner threes did that guy hit? Five total for the game. Like,
Five for nine.
Yeah, I thought Kawhi Leonard missed some shots that he normally misses. The thing about James Harden, he shoots – difficult shots. Like, you know, most of his threes are off the bounce where he's dribbling. And so I thought they contested his shots extremely well. You know, there was the one time where, you know, it was he got fouled on a three-pointer. But outside of that, I thought they did a fantastic job contesting James Harden. Outside of that, you know, Kawhi 0 for 3. Kawhi is a 45% three-point shooter this season. You know, James Harden 2 for 10. He was the main culprit. 8 of 27 overall for the Clippers. Not a whole lot of three-point attempts. So I guess you could say their on-ball defense was great, but the Clippers don't shoot a lot of threes as is. They're not a high-volume three-point shooting team. And so I thought from a matchup standpoint, this was a good matchup for the Kings' three-point defense to have its way.
Players now in the NBA are so good. They always have been, but they're better and better and better, especially when it comes to shooting the three ball, and all you have to do is look at the numbers, how they go up every year to know that that's the case. So much of defense in the NBA, Drapes, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's about trying to get teams to take the shots that are least likely to go in. But now it's so hard because guys are more than ever before making everything anyway.
Yeah. And they're shooting them from farther behind the line than ever before. I mean, the spacing in the NBA is at an all-time high. I will say, I thought the Kings did a great job with their help defense yesterday. Like, their rotations were pretty much on point. Other than the ones that Norman Powell had, I'll say, their rotations were pretty much on point. And we'll see tonight. You know, this Miami Heat team, shorthanded, not necessarily a great three-point shooting team, I don't believe. And so this will be an interesting test tonight.
You know, in basketball and other sports, but in basketball, player makes a shot. Maybe a team's struggling offensively. Somebody makes a shot, then somebody else makes a shot.
Hold on for a second, Whitey. The great Jackson joining us. What, you trying to bust in on us? You want to throw on the headset?
Yeah.
You got time to throw on the headset real quick?
Yes.
The mayor of South Beach joining us right here.
Thank you for your time.
Excellent booking, man, on the show here. Greetings, Sacramento.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do. How you doing, man? You guys have been in town the last couple of days. What you been doing?
That is a mind-your-business dynamic there.
What?
But I'm an older guy now.
I ain't nothing to get into in Sacramento.
Well, that's if you don't know. I was at the Torch Club last night. There were plenty of things on a jam session blues night to get squared away. But no, I love coming to Sacramento.
Okay.
It's one of one of my favorite places.
Can you give us a good afternoon party, people? Are you able to?
Somebody listens on Sunday morning.
Yes,
NBA
yes,
insiders.
Yes.
When I'm just really trying to wake myself up. That's the line that I use to hear how my voice is that time of day.
Oh, really?
Because I'm not. I was born in the afternoon, but I was made for the nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
To start off every edition of NBA Insiders on SiriusXM NBA Radio, Sunday mornings 10 Eastern 7. Out in this neck of the woods.
Oh, sure. That's a little promo right there, right?
Anytime I can. I just signed my 11th one-year deal with SiriusXM
really?
Today.
You're doing the one-year deals?
All for
after
a
all
decade.
This time?
That's, we all are, except for Termini. It is. Good morning, party people. Welcome to the program.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's it.
Good afternoon here.
First of all, for people not familiar with your resume
and
what you do with the Miami, you've pretty much held every position that they have, right? Like, what do you – right now you're radio play-by-play, but I know you do
still
the
pre-post TV as well,
TV,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
So I started off 20 years ago as the television host and courtside reporter when the team traded for Shaquille. They decided the 6 years since they had Jonesy in the mix, Mark Jones from the neighborhood, they hadn't had, like for a half decade, they hadn't had a third member of the broadcast team. And so they were literally just coming on, doing games. And
hasn't Eric Reed actually been there even longer than
Eric Reed, this is season 36 behind you, Jose Pineda, who's been the Spanish voice of the Miami Heat for 35 years, but 36 years in the organization. This is my 20th year, and I'm still junior on the staff. So for 17 years, that was the role. In that midst of 17 years, what you learn, and I know you know this, Drape, is you become the host of the organization.
Yeah.
So if corporate sales calls, if social responsibility calls, if season ticket member, come on, man, you say yes.
Yep.
And then you truly get kind of locked into the fabric of the team, therefore the community. And that's been the blessing. Yeah. And then 3 years ago, Mike Inglis, who had been the radio voice of the Miami Heat for 25 years, decided it was time to be a full-time grandfather, and God bless his soul for that, because about 12 hours after he let them know, they called me. And here's the crazy thing, Drape. I never had play-by-play as a thing that I envied. I didn't
Same
covet that
yeah.
role.
Yeah.
Only because I really enjoyed hosting and reporting, that you're kind of in the thick of it. But there won't be another day in my life I don't call games, Barry. Coming out of your skin for a game that's given you everything.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can put it. It's I grew up a baseball fan. I love baseball. The reason why I still love baseball, because I don't work it. And what basketball did for me is show me the world and pay every bill in my adult life.
Mm.
And so
You're
the
right
passion
that
you can pull from that reality, and then the fact that we just have it's a great game. It just I'm not taking anything away from any other game, but the intimacy of professional basketball on top of the elite athleticism, regardless of all the stuff that we can complain about and do as it pertains to salaries and is the season too long and all that stuff. Ain't nothing like these cats.
May I ask you a Kings question?
Sure.
Jason Jackson, nice enough to join us before he goes about his duties here. We've had an up-and-down season. Kings fans last year, of course, last year was like, this is the greatest thing ever. This year there were some expectations, which haven't always been met. So now Kings fans have been a little, this is great. Oh, this team's terrible. Oh, they were supposed to be better this year.
They got green.
And then last night, of course, a tremendous win. So now we're up. As somebody who comes in with the Heat from outside, What's your view of this? How good is this Kings team compared to last year? How good can they be this year? How good are they in the West? Just some views on that from the outside.
I wish I watched you more. I actually deem a team every year my league pass side piece. Mm-hmm. When I'm done with my work in
I'm
Eastern
use that.
Time
I'm
zone,
use that.
Please
use
take that.
That
one.
All right.
And I'm back at Chateau Jackson there in the city, beautiful, high atop US-1, and I got some time and some Buffalo Trace. I like to sit down and I pick a team that's either, you know, not it's usually one that's not in the Eastern Conference. And I think it was a year too early on the Kings. I was watching before Coach Brown came in. And then I picked OKC this year.
Ooh,
and so I was cheating on that one. I mean, everybody knew
something was coming right there.
And so I wish I watched more than the one matchup on the 31st of January and then getting ready for tonight to say to you that I could feel the same thing that fans feel. I'll just give you 30 years of experience is that when you want something, because you just got a little bit of a taste and you recognize your guys are ready to take the next step. You get caught up as a fan in the rigors. If you get caught up in the 82, and you should, we appreciate it. It's good for our business. You're going to get the up and down of
up
it.
Up and down, yeah.
Right? But if you have more ups.
Right.
Okay, here's what you want right now. And I'll give Kings fans this release if they want it. What you want is the tournament. If you get in the tournament, anything can happen. I don't care if it's play-in. I don't care if it's top six. If you're in, you get a chance. Now, here's the things a little different than those of us in the East that you're dealing with in the West. You all can't turn anywhere.
Right.
There is no relief.
No relief.
Zero. I mean, we probably will have two teams that get in that will be ushered out without issue, depending upon what happens there in the play-in.
Yeah.
But for you all could have eight bloodbaths.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Before you even get to the conference finals.
Yeah. You're right.
You get yourself through this 82, you bypass the play-in. Stop. Yeah, light the beam. Okay, come on in here. Have an extra beam, okay, if you don't have to go dance with Golden State and the Lakers in the play-in.
Yeah, right.
Who wants that?
Nobody wants it. We were saying it. You either got to face LeBron, Steph, or Luka in the play-in. Any one of those guys can win a game single-handedly.
And if you're Minnesota or OKC, here's your gift.
You're right.
Dudes have been doing this since you were in middle school.
Yes. Yeah.
So careful.
Let me ask you, man.
Yeah.
Who you got playing tonight?
That's a great question.
You guys.
That's a great question. Sure, I can tell you who's not. I can tell you.
You said you do everything for the Heat. Are you playing?
I need you tonight.
No, they don't want that. That would be a complete problem. We have defibrillators on the sideline for that. I'll tell you this. The thing that I've loved about this iteration, very similar to last year, but each year's different. Spo makes us, cleanse ourselves of the previous experience and let this one be that, is that the group that you're going to see, the guys that are going to get tapped to play tonight that usually will not have massive responsibility, have already had a bunch of responsibility. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you have a ton of injuries. Guys that you do have to monitor is that all 17 of your guys are going to get a sniff. Now, a lot of our two-way guys this year have gotten more work in the G League than usual.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Just because we haven't had to go that deep. But our first 15, they have all been a part of it. And so I believe we have 10. I was checking.
10 bodies.
I had to make sure Jamal Cain was here from Sioux Falls.
Yeah, is he here?
I believe he is here. He is right. Here. So it is a night where Spo will probably spend more time being mindful of his second group than so much the first group. And then because with Coach Spoelstra, if you're a player and you've watched him and you're coming into the organization, you're not coming in with any notoriety, you know what you want to be? You want to be in the finishing five.
The finishing, right.
That's the group that I think he puts the most thought in the sense of, when it's nip and tuck time, who's the group that's going to take us home? Mm-hmm. And so that group is going to be interesting. It won't be the one the Blazers fans see tomorrow. I'll tell you that right now. As a matter of fact, I do a show with him for the Miami Heat Audio Experience, as we like to call it. I got to put hot sauce
be
on
extra
it.
I got to right? Everything got to be extra.
And so I'll sit down with him for about 4.5 minutes before we go on the air, and I look forward to the way that he doesn't like to talk about the next game when they're back-to-backs. Like, he almost, shuns it.
Yeah.
But I want to know how different it feels knowing he gets two guys back tomorrow.
Right.
To how he treats this, and then he may get Rozier and Hero, who are out tonight, back tomorrow from injury. So
it's almost two different teams.
Come on, man. Yeah. Now you see why we're over here getting this sideways money trying to ask these wonderful questions.
Yeah. It seems like you guys, no matter who's out there, who's hurt, the Heat defend and they get to the line. Is that accurate?
Brother, you nailed it. Yeah. At least on the good nights. That's what you want to do. This team, it will not change from when Pat Riley took over in 95 to Stan Van Gundy's run to now Spoelstra for 16 years. It's not going to change. If you can defend, you can get on this floor. And it doesn't mean you have to be, Bam or Jimmy, right? It just means that you have to be able to keep your man in front of you and at the very least understand the scheme and know how it will help you if you're going to be what we like to call a serviceable defender. It sounds like a right hand coming across your face.
We could use some of those on.
But it's serviceable defending means that you know how to get your guy to another guy that will help.
Right.
You know,
right.
Coming
usher over. Him over.
Exactly.
Help.
Right. Oh, bam, here I come. And it's funny because Bam, listen, you probably look at the notes from the New Orleans game.
Yeah.
Those 11 blocks, that's not the Miami Heat. That's not standard.
Right, right, right.
It's not the way it really happens most nights. It is guys who are who plant their feet in the wood and take a hit.
Mm.
That if you're willing to put your shoulder down and just go and run through the wall.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox, that's what's going to be in front of him tonight.
Yeah.
There'll be three guys. Because
waiting
he's the one waiting for
him
all the
there,
time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get into your boy who should have been an all-star three times in Indianapolis. You get that ball to Sabonis and everybody's live.
Drapes has been saying
that's
for
nuts.
Weeks now he wants to see one of those, like, 94-89 games. I don't know.
Drapes, like one of those bar fights.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe you don't want that tonight.
No, that's what y'all do, man.
You'll see slobber coming down the side of their face if you all don't want to score 115 tonight.
No, we
that's
to get
perfectly fine, baby.
I know.
Good stuff,
This was fun, guys. Thanks
appreciate
for having
you,
me through.
Yeah, thank you for stopping by.
You guys fly out. You got
right out. We
tomorrow,
have Portland
right?
tomorrow, yeah. And then Denver on whatever day that is,
Thursday yeah.
before we head
yeah.
back to Paradise.
Paradise.
Yes, sir.
What's your spot in Miami? What's give me a go-to.
You might
spot.
Want to go to break, come back, and I'll have a list. I've lived there for
just
20 years, Drape.
I know. You know what?
But I've gotten older, and I don't do the
right.
beach. I don't,
that's what
I don't
I'm saying. I need the underbelly of Miami. I don't need where the 25-year-olds go. I'm old now.
He lost his wallet at the beach in
El
LA
Segundo.
Yesterday.
Well, that's, Manhattan Beach yesterday. Yeah.
That can happen.
Yeah, you know
that can happen. I now have to be summoned across to the barrier island.
Yeah,
I'll be 52 in May. And you got to know yourself. That's the first win in life, people. Know yourself.
You know what? Let me tell you a quick story about my last trip to South Beach. Guess how long I was there for?
Probably, 48 hours?
No. I went to South Beach for 10 minutes.
Oh, you mean
across
MacArthur Causeway. Gotcha.
Yeah, and I said, you know what? What am I doing? I hopped out the Uber, walked down Collins or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And, like, I said, you know what? This isn't me. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I hopped right and went back.
Know thyself, right?
Brickell is all you need.
Exactly.
And that's the little part of downtown where the team stays.
Yes.
And there are cigar lounges and restaurants. And there's even a couple dance clubs in there.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Cold
water. You can go hydrate yourself.
You see that?
In that club.
And light bulb went off in my head. Oh, yeah, I remember that. You're right.
So, I've just turned to, as you can take a look at, for those of there enjoying the stream, they can see I don't miss meals. and I keep these dulcet tones together with just enough cigars. Just enough.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thank you very
much. That dark liquor in the summertime, springtime.
I hear you all the time. It's a pleasure to
hear you.
You
pleasure's mine.
Party people. Yeah.
All right, baby. Call or text the show, 916-339-1140.
Ooh.
You can always find us at SecTown140 on X.
1140, man. If you go to it.
Did I say 740?
Yeah, 1140.
I'm sorry.
You're getting about to be
I was just trying to be way too slick.
The
Drive Guys continue live here from
Hey, don't be coming in with that Miami attitude, man. We blue collar up here in Sac.
SecTownSports.com, everybody.
Appreciate you.
Very good.
All right, baby.
When we come back, and the Kings continue to dominate the second night of back-to-backs with the Drive Guys on SecTown Sports. All right, Drapes, we need you to take us.
What you got?
Inside the NBA here. Getting ready for the Kings and the Heat tonight. Of course, the Heat on the road. This isn't a factor, but we just we're talking to Jason Jackson. Nice enough to join us. Who has the best home court advantages in the NBA that have nothing to do with how good the team is? So other circumstances, options that players have the night before the game. I think you could maybe also include, you know, Denver, the altitude, right?
No matter how,
Yeah.
That's
so Miami's
question.
Up there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Miami's got to be up there.
Is Atlanta? I hear a lot
Atlanta
about
Atlanta for sure,
sure.
You know, L.A., obviously.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think Dallas is a sneaky,
really
tough one too. Oh yeah, I remember a time. This was I don't want to reveal the player or the situation.
Of course not. Of course not.
With the team,
you can write it down. I won't read.
Right. No. And I think we got to the hotel at like 2. And you know, the player went in. and came right back down and went out. And I was like, two in Dallas? And, like, it was crazy. And so, yeah, I think Dallas is sneaky good.
Dallas got a lot of stuff jumping, fellas.
Who'd you say?
Dallas. Dallas for sure got a lot of stuff jumping that night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right? Right, yeah. Jay? Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Obviously, New York, too.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know, the major city.
Uh-huh. Stubbs,
Houston.
The usual ones out there. Houston. Oh, my God. Houston, 100%.
That's a whole nother level, baby.
That's a different level. I mean, it's I will say, things have changed in the NBA, though. With the advent of social media.
Oh, yeah, like, you got to be more careful.
Your work. Well, you do all your work before you even get to the city. You don't have to go out looking for any extracurricular activities or any fun or anything like that. And so it's a much different ball game out there nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also you got to look at the money these guys are making, too. You know, like, it's interesting. I told you I was listening to Kevin Garnett's podcast with him and Paul Pierce, and he was talking about All-Star Weekend and the parties. He said it got to a point where he would bring the party to him. Mm-hmm. It would just be in his suite at the hotel.
Right.
He'd get a suite big enough, and, you know. So he didn't go out. And so there are certain guys, you know, you get to a certain level, especially if you don't even go out anymore.
And they could do that in any city, right?
City nowadays, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's a different ball game out there.
Yeah. All right. It's interesting with the Heat. You know, I was just thinking as we talked about their history, I remember when they were a new team, it was them, and it was Minnesota and Orlando and Charlotte all entered about the same time. And you look at those four franchises, one of them has become one of the finest franchises in the whole league. And the other three of all, to a degree, they're still trying to find their footing. But Miami is, I mean, that's a primo franchise.
And Pat Riley, cool. Man.
Yeah.
You know, he set the culture. And when you talk about, you know, a successful franchise, and you mentioned it sort of, and Jason talked about it, it doesn't matter who's on the floor. You know what Heat basketball is when you see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've set a culture in there, both on the floor and in the organization, that you'll recognize. And I think it starts with Pat Riley. And, it, you know, now a guy like Alonzo Mourning sort of fits that mold, too, who's helping them run it. And so, no, there's something to be said about Heat culture. I know, you know, some fans get tired of it, but I do think it is a real thing.
How far along is Kings culture? And it's not something in 2 years you can got it. I mean,
yeah, that's
Kings
a good question.
Have been talking about this since way before even you got here, Grapes. You know, we're going to build a culture, It looks like now they may be starting to do that. In what ways have you seen that grow? Where are we with that whole concept? Winning has a lot to do with it, doesn't it?
Yeah, infancy, baby steps, early on in that. I think, you know, you talked about, you know, Heat culture. Well, Pat Riley came in, what, 95? You know, so here we are, you know, close to 30 years. So
no question.
It can't be overnight, and it has to be a sustained thing. And one thing, when you look at the Heat and what they've done, and I hope Sacramento gets to this point, how many coaches have we cycled through? How many GMs have we cycled through? But yet in Miami, Pat Riley's been there. Eric Spoelstra, second longest tenure coach in the NBA. Like, there's something to stability and continuity that I think the Kings are
sure. And not only has Spo been there for a long time, but he came up through
the organization.
The system in the first place.
Yes, 100%. And so I think that's where we are right now with Miami. The Kings is going to take some time, you know?
Yeah.
Monty McNair, what? This is his fourth season. With the Kings, you know, you look at Mike Brown only in his second. Now, if Mike Brown's here 10 years and Monty's here 13, then you'll really start to see the culture. And the thing, too, when opposing players or free agents go to Miami, they know what to expect. So when they traded for Terry Rozier earlier this season, I said, that's going to be perfect for Terry Rozier. That structure, that accountability, that's something he needs. And so we'll ask Eric Reed about this coming up in a little bit, you know, play-by-play guy for the Miami Heat. He's going to be jumping on with us. But I think there is a thing. And then players, certain players anyway, they want to be a part of that.
Yeah, and I think it cuts both ways, too. When the Heat go looking for players, free agents, they already know, like, he's not one of our guys.
Right.
He's not. That guy, we know that he can play in our system.
Right,
you know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't just go out there signing everybody or anybody.
You're pretty good. Let's see how this works out.
Got it.
By the way, the Kings here, in the calendar year, 4-0 on the second night of a back-to-back after, as you well know, starting the season 0-4.
Yep.
Still only 1-2 at home. So keep that trend going tonight. Another win on the second night of a back-to-back.
It's crazy how that's
we flipped, talked right? about that so many. Right. They can't win on
they
the second
can't
night.
Win, and now they've proven they have. And I think this team has figured out who they are. The starting five is clicking right now. I feel like Mike Brown's rotations have settled in. I mean, it took them a while. You know, even last year, though, it was into December. This year, it took almost to February to sort of figure out the rotation. But, no, this is, you know, another opportunity to stay undefeated on the second night of a back-to-back here in 2024.
My guess would be, as far as culture and how that's coming along with the Kings, I would guess one of the most important things is you just have to have a buy-in from the players. And they've had that more the last 2 years than I remember seeing in Sacramento in a long time.
Yes, yes. And that's been, I think, you know, Mike Brown's biggest success is to get the buy-in. And I go back to when they rattled off 7 wins in a row last season. You know, when a coach tells you something and they see it actually working on the floor and leading to wins, that's huge. That's that trust that they've developed. You know, I thought it was a little bit of struggle earlier this season, you know. I thought it could go either way, you know. The honeymoon stage is over. You're hearing Mike Brown's voice all day in and day out. You're practicing as much as you are. But to these guys' credit and to the coaching staff's credit, they've stuck together. They didn't let any you know, we saw the incident with Malik Monk and Mike Brown during one of those games,
yeah.
Remember? You know, that could have festered and grew into something, but it didn't. And so this team is humming right now.
I think when a team really has great culture, one of the benefits of that is that sometimes you have lesser players, and I think we've seen this with the Heat, lesser players, that is, guys that the rest of us on the outside say, that guy's not
right.
that good. And then they just blossom.
Yes.
And, you know, Max Strus,
right.
Gabe Vincent, right?
Duncan become legitimate. Robinson.
Yes, like, you
know,
yes, yes.
Guys who, you know, other teams don't want or they're, you know. Like, during their run to the NBA Finals last year, I forget, it was 7 or 8 undrafted players on
yeah,
the roster.
Right.
Like, think
right.
about that.
And the guys deserve the credit, but
right.
the culture
but
deserves
the culture,
yeah, yeah.
you know. And I've always maintained fit is a real thing. And going to the right team that can maximize your talents, maximize your abilities. That's why, you know, one guy will play, like, for instance, look at Malik Monk in Charlotte. Solid, you know, nice little player. Went to L.A., developed even more, came here to Sacramento, and now he's blossomed into arguably the sixth man of the year. And so I do think culture and fit is huge in today's NBA.
Now, without Jimmy Butler, how do the Heat stay hot? We will find out what the plan is from Eric Reed, Heat TV play-by-play man. He's been with the Heat since the very beginning. He joins us next here at the Golden 1 Center, the Drive Guys on Sacktown. Coming to you from the Golden 1 Center, of course, the Kings taking on the Miami Heat tonight. Our next guest has been with the Heat from the beginning. TV play-by-play voice, Eric Reed. Nice to join us. First things first, Eric, since you've been there since the beginning, I got to ask you, is it true that Craig Neal once entered a game with his jersey backwards? Did that really happen?
I think it did. Craig Noodle, he did a lot of things we can't talk about. That's one thing we can't talk about. By the way, being with the Heat from the start, that makes me two things, old and blessed.
Yes, it
yes.
does. Well, isn't it amazing? We were just talking about the fact that, you know, they came into the league basically with Charlotte and Minnesota and Orlando.
No, and Miami and Charlotte came in 88.
Yeah, yeah.
Orlando and Minnesota came in the following year.
Right,
okay.
right.
Yes.
About the same time. But look at those four teams, and three of them are still trying to find their way, and you guys are one of the premier franchises in the NBA.
Well, it's an amazing story, you know, from an expansion team to one of the elite franchises
yes.
in professional sports. And, you know, it all starts at the top. It really does. The You know, the original ownership was Ted Arison, who did it not for his love of basketball, but for his love of the city of Miami and brought NBA basketball to Miami. His son, Mickey, and Mickey's son, Nicholas, you know, to update it, have provided, you know, the consistency and the outstanding quality is, you know, one of the best ownership groups in pro sports. And when Mickey brought in Pat Riley almost 30 years ago, I'll never forget, it was on the Carnival cruise ship, the Imagination. And you didn't have to use much to know that that bigger things were coming. And it was actually hard to believe it when it happened. And it, you know, there's very few guys that could walk in your door and sort of instantly transform your franchise and change your culture. And it Kyle, I heard what you were saying. It has taken years, but it started right from the jump. One of the first things Pat Riley did was trade for Alonzo Mourning in the prime of his career, bring in guys like Tim Hardaway and Dan Majerle and P.J. Brown. And then it's all about, you know, the discovery of talent and then the development of talent, which everybody tries to do.
Right.
It's been pretty clear that Heat do it as well as any team in the league.
Absolutely.
Eric Reed joining us. Eric, when we talk about Heat culture, put it into words. What is it? What can we tangibly see or feel about Heat culture?
Well, number one, it's not for everybody. Mm. It's just not. And Eric Spoelstra says that all the time. But, you know, there's a lot of talent in this league. But how many guys are really in tune with what it takes to help your team win the game? Right now, the culture of the game is more like, let me get mine, let me score a lot of points so I can get paid. But it's about sacrificing and figuring out what your role on the team is and figuring it. You know, to me, the best players in the league, winning matters more than how many points they score. And that's what you love about Jimmy Butler. That's what I respected so much about Kyle Lowry for the 2.5 seasons he was with us. Those guys don't care how many points they score. They're going to figure out through the course of the game what their team needs.
Domas is like that too, yeah.
So Heat culture, though, about being in great shape, about, you know, doing the difficult things to be an excellent defensive team, and putting winning first. Pat Riley's number one cliche, keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing's not just about winning games, it's trying to win championships.
Yeah, Eric Reed, nice enough to join us. No Jimmy Butler, no Thomas Bryant tonight, no Jovic. What was the Heat's view of that scrape with the Pelicans?
Well, it was unfortunate because, as I told you guys off the air, it was one of the better games we've had this season. It was fierce and intense. It felt like a playoff game. It was playing like one. And then a minute into the fourth quarter, Kevin Love takes a foul on Zion Williamson, and it was a benign foul. He wrapped both arms around him.
I saw.
Zion slipped, fell down. Like, you think Kevin Love would be able to knock him down? He just slipped and fell down. And I think
it's Najee Marshall, wasn't it?
Najee Marshall.
Yeah.
You know, he got pushed the wrong way on it, and he got into Jimmy. Jimmy poked him. They both reached out at each other. Each one had a hand around the neck, so not all that surprised. They each got a game. Thomas Bryant, who said he was trying to be a peacemaker, somehow wound up near half court with Nikola Jovic, and then what's his name? Alvarez.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Jose. Yeah.
Yeah, Jose Alvarez threw a punch at him, and it was weird. I mean, as he's getting thrown out, he's shadow boxing in the alleyway leading out to the locker room. And it was unfortunate, but what was cool about it was to see the way the Heat responded to that. You lose Jimmy Butler. Tyler Hero gets hurt late in that game. But to see Bam took 11 of his 18 shots in the fourth quarter, scored 12 of his 24 points in the fourth quarter, and he showed you what you hope you'd see, a guy that, when needed, he can carry you on the offensive end. And he's a perfect example of, you know, what Heat culture is all about. He's one of the best teammates in the NBA. I think when you talk about recruiting free agents, you can say no state income tax, the beautiful weather and vibe of South Florida, and you get to play with an unselfish, team-first, win-first mentality guy like Bam.
Does Bam have to have that kind of impact offensively again tonight, you think? With you guys being so shorthanded, does he have to be aggressive out there?
Yeah, I think so. He's going to be the focal point tonight because you're going to see a lot of guys like Cole Swider and Jamal Cain and Alondis Williams, all guys, you know, with G League stuff on their recent resume. And we'll probably see, I'm sure we're going to see the debut in a Heat uniform of DeLon Wright, which is another great Heat story. Yep. His brother Darrell was drafted right out of high school, Lawndale, California, played on the 06 championship team. And
some of us wanted him here, by the way.
DeLon.
Darrell or DeLon?
DeLon.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, DeLon feels like a great fit. First of all, it's a feel-good story. He was 11 or 12 years old when Darrell first joined the Heat. Mm. So Heat people, basketball side, have memories of him as a little kid shooting around with Tim Hardaway Jr. and Gary Payton Jr. in our practice gym. And DeLon fits. He fits the Heat because, you know, he's a guy that would just vanish on a bad team. Mm-hmm. Bad teams don't appreciate what a player like DeLon does. good teams, contending teams, need guys like DeLon Wright that will fit in offensively, that can guard three or four positions on the defensive end, unselfish, tough-minded, knows what the culture is all about. Mm-hmm. And he's there for depth. Josh Richardson's out with a shoulder injury, mm-hmm. and DeLon, I think, will fill that void very well. We're going to get a look at him tonight.
Eric, speaking again of that culture, Mike Brown's trying to build a winning culture here. And I know you guys don't get to see a lot of the Kings necessarily. Do you see any elements of that starting to come together? I'm not saying they're anywhere near, of course, where the Heat have been or even where the Warriors have been. But what do you think are some of the key ingredients that Mike Brown so far perhaps has already starting to bring to the team here in Sacramento?
Well, I have a lot of respect for Mike Brown. He's been successful and respected everywhere he's been, whether it's as a head coach or an assistant. So he brings a veteran winning mentality to Sacramento. You guys had a long, long period of time. I think 16 years of under 500 basketball and not making the playoffs. And you finally broke out of that last year. And the first step is getting your heart broke in the playoffs.
Yes.
And that happened in Game 7 here last year. The next step is getting back and being a little hungrier, a little smarter, a little better. I'm so intrigued by the Sabonis trade. I can't remember an NBA trade where both teams gave up such a great player and neither team has a second thought about the deal they made.
Right.
It worked out so well for both teams. So Sabonis, to me, is one of the best players in the league. Him being left off the All-Star team this year in the West, it saddened me. I think the guy's an MVP candidate, let alone an All-Star. You know, the 20 triple-doubles. I mean, he's only the sixth guy to do that in NBA history. And he does it every night. And I just love the way he plays. And in De'Aaron Fox, you got a dynamic playmaker, scorer. And I tell you the truth, watching him defend last night, that caught my eye. The 8 deflect. I know he's one of the top guys in the league in deflections. And I really respect guys that, and we have a guy like that in Caleb Martin, that use their athleticism equally well on both ends of the court.
Eric Reed, play-by-play announcer for the Miami Heat, joining us here on The Drive, guys, Sactown Sports, 1140. Eric, I think, you know, you guys and what you accomplished last year gave hope to a team like, let's say, Sacramento, that if we did make it into the play-in instead of the top six, that the season's not over. Like, you can still accomplish your goals. How realistic is that? Or was that a once-in-a-lifetime things just happen to fall in place for you guys?
It's hard. It's hopefully not once. Lakers did it too last year. But it's not the route anybody wants to take. But the point is, you want to be doing, you know, I remember Al McGuire when he was a coach at Marquette. You say you got to be healthy and you want to be on an uptick going into the playoffs. That didn't happen for Miami last year. It was really strange. I mean, they almost missed the playoffs last year in the worst possible way you could miss the playoffs, losing two play-in games, both at home.
Ooh.
So they got beat soundly by Atlanta. A couple nights later, they're down 5 or 6 points with 3 minutes left against Chicago, and you're wondering if summer vacation starts in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the next thing that happened, Miami goes to Milwaukee, the 8th seed, playing the top seed, the team with the best record in the league. The Heat were one of the worst scoring teams in the NBA last year. They go to Milwaukee and drop 130 in game one. Tyler Hero gets injured, breaks his hand in that first game. Who knew then what would be next? I've been with the Heat 36 years. I've been watching NBA basketball for over 50 years. I mean, I've never seen usually when you get to the finals, you have been carrying around the burden of expectations all year. Most of the teams that get there were expected to get there. This was the most joyful, unexpected finals appearance that I've ever been a part of.
Hmm. That's tremendous. So, you know, some suggest that if DeMar DeRozan's daughter had been there at that Heat game, that maybe things would have ended for you guys. I'm kidding. You know, the way she was shrieking during the game against the other game against Atlanta.
Yeah.
How's Jaime Jaquez been compared to what you guys expected when you drafted?
Well, I think he's pretty much what everybody did expect. You know, it really sort of makes me smile when I hear people, you know, sort of shy away from wanting to draft a senior, right? Because maybe they're 21 or 22 or 23 years old. Okay, go draft a 19-year-old kid out of high school and see how long it takes. So, you know, Jaquez, not only it's not just staying 4 years. But it's being at a high-level program like he was at, well-coached, one of the respected programs at UCLA. And each year his role incrementally grew from role player to, key guy off the bench to starter to focal point and figuring out along the way, how to help his team win. And that's why he's such a great fit. He's fundamentally sound. I think he's going to be I don't know if he's going to be an all-star or not. That remains to be seen. He's going to be a very good, solid player for a long time to come.
Excellent. Excellent.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Reed, yeah.
Eric Reed, legendary voice of the Heat. It's a pleasure to meet you. I haven't seen you, on TV for so many years.
Oh, thank you.
Great to talk with you. We appreciate your time. We'll be right back with Golden One Center. Take a look at how the Kings can cool down the Heat tonight and keep whatever this is going out. Keep it going. We get right back here. It's a Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.